All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 296 of the DFO Rundown, a special extra edition as we preview the Western Conference playoffs today. And we are thrilled to welcome Bet365 as our sports betting partner just in time for the 2024 playoffs. We'll be here with Bet365 to provide you with all the news, analysis, lines, betting options, and more for the playoffs until one team is left standing in June. I am Jason Greger. We welcome in Frank Saravalli. Yesterday, Frankie, we went over the East, and we had to wait until literally a minute 21 remaining in the final game of the night, the final game of the season, to find out what the matchups would be in the Western Conference. For those who are, you know, who didn't stay up late, the LA Kings started the third period leading 3-1. Vegas had lost. So all LA needed to do was get a point and they'd be in the playoffs. They were playing the 31st place Chicago Blackhawks. The Kings gave up 3 goals in 5 minutes on 4 shots, or 5 maybe, and suddenly found themselves trailing. The Blackhawks take a too many men on the ice pen, not too many men, sorry, puck over glass penalty with 2 minutes to go. And then the Kings tie it on the power play. They go to overtime, but overtime result doesn't matter. It's just a single point. And now the Kings will go to Edmonton and Vegas will go to Dallas. And it's crazy, Frank, depending on if one of those teams upsets, it'll literally come down to 81 seconds being the difference in who they play.
81 seconds in game 1312 of the season to lock in all 8 first round matchups. I mean, that's how deep into the season we had to go. The final game of the year. The only thing I feel bad for is the amount of travel vouchers that are being exchanged today, because I bet you so many people were guessing and hoping what a schedule might have looked like, especially passionate Oiler fans booking trips to Vegas, that now all of a sudden are having to book trips to LA.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there were some who had probably multiple ones booked, right? You book both and then you cancel one and away you go. So I don't know if it's ultimately going to matter. We'll see. We'll get into our predictions on who plays who, Frank. But you know what? I'll say this. The NHL regular season has been one of the most intriguing that I've seen in a while. And I just want to point out, because I know there's lots of people that talk about it, I am totally against adding a play-in round. It negates a lot of things. First of all, if you look at the NBA playoff rounds, the 10 seeded teams have never won a game. So like all it does is when you're getting into 10 now, you're getting teams that just aren't that good. Let's call a spade. They're not that good. They're not that close. So, and then look what's happened in the NBA. Two teams who lost star guys in play-in games, and now they're out. So imagine you play 82 games and these teams finish sometimes like 10, 12 points ahead of another team. Clearly they're better. Now they got to play some bogus one extra play-in game and they lose a guy. Like I'm telling you, the NHL has no reason to do it. None. 16 out of 32 is fantastic. Keep it like it.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I mean, I'm not like vehemently opposed to a play-in if that's what they decided. I think had you said, hey, there's really not much separating, obviously in standings wise, Red Wings from Caps, and we had the Red Wings and Penguins or whoever it was in 10th move on to play a play-in, like, would I be offended? No, but I like it the way it is. And I like that there's some finality and drama to what we have in the regular season.
Yeah. Like I like how it was. I think it's a great race. It makes the regular season matter a little bit more.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Before we jump into the playoff preview, should we touch it on Hart Trophy now that the regular season is wrapped? Where are you leaning?
I fill out my ballot. It's almost done. I always wait until the final games just in case, but
I did mine this morning.
Yeah. And so I have it all done, except I haven't filled out my final Selke. I've got a lot of notes and stuff that I've calculated all the year. So I got to just go over that one. But I think I have my one, but I take a lot of pride in ranking it 1 through 5. I don't just fill in the last ones as kind of ho-hum. I try to take it all serious. And, the Hart Trophy, I really think it's between two guys. I think it's MacKinnon and Kucherov. And it's going to come down to, which one you think. They both had amazing seasons. And I'll say this, whoever ranks somebody one and the other guy two, I'm like, I can understand your argument both ways. Like, this is the tightest Hart race that I can recall.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know where I'm heading. I'm not going to share it publicly. I've dropped some hints along the way, but it's as close as I've ever seen it.
Oh, yeah. Like, because you find one thing. Oh, geez, I really like Kucherov here. Oh, I really like MacKinnon over here. Now I really like Kucherov in this category. Like, it has been an unreal battle between those two. They're remarkable seasons. And, it sucks somebody has to win, but that's, hey, somebody has to win.
It doesn't suck someone has to win. Like, that's drive a stake into the ground. It's not.
I made my list. I picked one, and I have no, like, you're going to have, Avs fans and Lightning fans, whichever guy doesn't win, they're going to be freaking out. And I understand it because they have a connection to their player, as they should. But anybody else, no offense, if any other fan base thinks their guy was deserving of the Hart over those two, I'd really need to see a long essay explaining why their seasons were better than both Kucherov and MacKinnon.
I'm with you. Yeah. What'd you make of the Alex Maruello availabilities yesterday?
Man, did you see his quote? Well, really, all we've done is given away the team and they move, but we still have the logos and everything else. I'm like, oh my
God. He went on Arizona radio and said, I still own the team. They introduced him as former Coyotes owner Alex Maruello. He said, no, I still own the team. And I'm thinking to myself, but the U-Haul trucks just backed up.
Well, he owns the Coyotes team. So on a technicality, he's actually correct there.
But he doesn't. He owns the IP and the logo, yes. And he has an option to rebuy. I know that they worded it that it's a dormant franchise that can be reactivated. There is no 33rd franchise. That's absolute bullshit.
Yeah. And well, the other thing is, I think basically, he's owning Coyotes. Okay, great. But you don't own anything in Coyotes. It's like having a website and not a company.
Exactly. And they're now in a spot where he's saying, I own the team, but if you own the team, that would mean that they could start playing and that you're going to be drafting players.
Yeah. No,
you're not. And you've got a million hurdles, or I should say a billion hurdles, to jump through between now and then. Your team moved. And however you want to address it to save face or feel good about yourself, after all the soul searching, and he did get pretty emotional in his Arizona Sports radio interview. Fine. I'm sure there was a fair amount of emotion having to admit failure in such a large public way. But that's the fact after incompetent stewardship.
Yeah. No.
Bottom line.
I have much more empathy for the fan base than I do for the ownership group. Like when you have a guy who is very much, he's always bled, you know, he talks proudly about his time in Arizona as a member of the Coyotes and Paul Bissonnette, Biz Nasty. When you have him going on TNT and saying, you know what, I want a team back in here, just not with that ownership group. That's all you need to know. Right. He's obviously deeply intertwined with a lot of people inside the organization who know how things were dealt with. And that's not something they want represented. And honestly, I find it hard to argue based on the track record, based on reports, Frank, that you had of them, you know, the NHL had to be like, can you guys please pay your hotel bills? Like things like that, that just have no reason. You claim you're a, you know, multimillionaire, you're a billionaire guy, and you're not paying a hotel for your, to stay there. Like, give me a break. What kind of Mickey Mouse lack of integrity person do you need to be to do that?
Well, Coyotes fans would also argue, what kind of integrity do you have that all of this happens, news breaks, and you don't address your players, forcing Bill Armstrong, who was also in the dark, to get on a plane to Edmonton to go talk to them, where I'm told from Coyotes players in the room, Bill Armstrong basically threw the owner right under the bus. So, understandably so. If Alex Mariuolo were smart, he would just not show up to the June 27th auction and say, you know what? I pocketed a couple hundred million bucks at least from this transaction. I'm washing my hands of this and walking away. Plunking down $68.5 million at the minimum for this piece of land to then deal with all the headaches and hurdles, the public interest, potential lawsuits, infrastructure, all these things, to then build your building for $1 billion out of pocket at least, and then spend another $1 billion to get the team back. To prove what?
I mean, no, if he did that, then he'd prove that he really wants the team, right?
Well, it's obvious that he really wanted it to begin with. He took out a loan for $300 million to buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, no one really just does that on a whim. I don't want to belabor the point on the Coyotes at all, but just it sounds funny. Like, I want to say take the L, but business-wise, it's been a big W.
It's a huge W.
Move on.
Hey, also a huge W for Utah. You see how many tickets they already sold? They're going to do
11,000 in the first however many hours, 10 hours?
Yeah. So for a building that only is going to have about 14 and change for a lot of their games, Frank, that's a pretty good start in one day for people to.
They're going
to
be just fine.
Oh, they'll be just fine. And they'll be even better when they get their new facility.
Gary Bettman gassing up the old private jet today. Air Bettman having a press conference in Arizona with Alex Mariuolo on Friday, followed by a quick jaunt up to Salt Lake City and a press conference with Ryan and Ashley Smith, the new co-owners of, maybe we're calling it Utah HC, Utah Hockey Club, for the first year. Smith says that he's not rushing into a team name and that even if they play this season without one, they're okay with that.
Yeah, I know Washington did it for 1 year in the NFL, so you can do it. You know, we'll see. But
I think that's totally unnecessary, by the way.
No, like,
it shouldn't be that hard to get a logo and jerseys together in the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's a team name. Let's not overthink it. Like, go back in time and look at names and everything like that. Some people, they don't like it originally. And then they're like, oh, because I remember people complained about the Wild originally. They didn't like it. Didn't have an S, yada, yada, yada. And now look, like, you think about the Minnesota Wild, you think about the Wild. You don't think of any other name. They're like, hey, Minnesota Wild, it's fine. Move on. So, yeah, I wouldn't overthink it. I would get a name in. Washington was transitioning, so it's a little bit different from one, you know, name that wasn't really
was racist
respected anymore. Yeah. So yeah, away we go. Now, let's get to the some playoff talk in the Western Conference. And hey, Hockey Heads, daily face-off, the playoff parlay challenge. Each game day, you can answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if the points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards with each round's champ pocketing cash. You can go to games.dailyfaceoff.com. So that's games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. So let's do it at games.dailyfaceoff.com. And we'll start in the Central Division. The number one seed, Dallas Stars, found out late last night they are taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. What do you think, Frank?
You've been on it for Vegas for a while, that they don't scare you. You think that they just haven't played well enough to be a scary team. Obviously, Adin Hill's numbers have not been great. I think the Stars are the team. I'm not going out on a limb here. They're the number one seed. I think the Stars are the team to beat in the West. And it's not because of the points that they racked up or the fact that they have 8 20 goal scorers in their lineup. To me, their style of play, and this is the reason why I picked them to win the Stanley Cup before the season started, their style of play is the most translatable to the NHL playoffs. They don't have to change. We know the game changes. The Stars don't have to change. They can play that way. And they've got the skill. They're able to play nasty. They skate like nobody's business, especially on their back end. And guess what? Jake Oettinger has been really good the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't see a single hole in the Dallas Stars. I'm not saying that they can't be beat. I'm just saying I don't see an obvious flaw.
So what are you taking?
I'm taking the Dallas Stars in... I wrote this down. I just want to be consistent. I am taking the Dallas Stars in 7.
7. Okay.
I just think Vegas, I know what you've said about Vegas, and I'm happy to hear you say it again. I think they've got some playoff magic in them. I think having done it before, and not to say that that's a recipe for success to do it next year, if Mark Stone comes back at any point in the series, could be a significant game changer. He's their emotional leader. He is the heartbeat of that team. And their back end has gotten a little bit healthier. I think their trade deadline acquisitions are going to settle in a little bit. This is why they're here. I think it's going to be a nasty, tough, entertaining series.
All right. The Dallas Stars have been very good all year. They've been elite since March 1st. They are 16-4. They have outscored teams by an average of 3.7 goals a game to 2.3. They're not just winning, they're crushing teams in that span. Almost 4 goals a game and just over 2 goals against per game. Their penalty kill is good. Their power play is good. Like, their power play, no one really talks about it. Their power play is 29% down the stretch. Their penalty kill is 82. Like, they're good on special teams. Jake Oettinger, I don't know, like that, he didn't even look like he was trying on that stick save in overtime against the Blues the other day. Robert Thomas' reaction, I was just like, oh my God. And even Ottinger's laughing, like he didn't think he was going to make the save. He's just like, oh, here you go. And there's a few stats that always stand out. No team wins, Frank, with the goals against above 3. The Vegas Golden Knights, since March, and there really hasn't been much improvement. Like, they had the great start to the season, but since then it's been downhill. In March, the Vegas Golden Knights, they managed to go 12-9-1, right? So they win over half their games, but they had 3.23 goals per game, but allowed 3.32. They simply give up too much. Yes, Mark Stone will be an emotional boost to their team, but he's not like this guy is going to suddenly solve all their defensive woes on their team, unless they're going to become really one of the first teams ever to snap their finger come playoff time and completely go against everything that's happened for the previous 4 months. I think this is a short series. I think Dallas really controls this series. They got incredible depth. Their back end is deeper than Vegas's back end. They got better goaltending. Their coaches, you know, we can go coaches. They're really two good coaches, but I don't think you can give an advantage clearly to Vegas in that department at all. I'm going to take Dallas in five. I honestly think they are going to control this series. And Vegas just, they haven't found anything that they had remotely similar to last season. And, you know, Adin Hill and got hot at the right time, which is great. Vegas was a good team who played incredibly well in the postseason, but that was last year. This is this year. And for the second consecutive season, the defending Stanley Cup champion is going to be out in the first round.
Okay. I could totally could see five. I could see it being short. I could see it being long.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Now we move on to, this might be the series in the West in the first round, Colorado and Winnipeg. And man, this shapes up to me being a hell of a battle. So you look at the Avs now, it's hard to say anything about last night's game. Edmonton, I don't know if I've ever, like, Edmonton didn't even dress 20 skaters because they wanted to rest all their guys. They rested their, you know, five forwards, two defensemen, and Stuart Skinner played 20 minutes and was just like, let's get out of here. Like, it was, you know.
Why did Skinner play at all?
That was like a preseason game. Well, I think they didn't want him to sit out 6 days between starts because he's never really done that other than the All-Star break. So I'm guessing that's part of the rhythm.
How'd that factor work out? Nine saves on 13 shots.
Did you see his reaction? He didn't care. Like, it's funny. Like, I know they're professionals and yes, you know, people are paying, but any Oiler fan watching that game should not be upset. Like, look at Vegas and Vancouver's lineup, Vancouver and Winnipeg's lineups last night. Like,
keep it on the rails, Gregor.
You're resting guys. I don't think it's a big deal. But
we're talking Colorado, Winnipeg. I don't know how we started on an Oiler tangent, but go ahead. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Oh, yeah. You brought it up about Colorado. You brought up about Stuart Skinner. So,
okay.
Who do you like?
I'm going with the Jets. Jets in six. And I urge you, if you are a Winnipeg fan or if you're a fan of Josh Morrissey, I did a Jets playoff preview with Josh today on Frankly Speaking. And I love his mindset, and I'll explain that in a second, but I really love the way the Jets played against the Avs this season. Sometimes season series mean something. Sometimes it means absolutely nothing. In this case, I think stylistically, it really matters. The Jets outscored the Avs 17-4, and that is lopsided mostly because of the last game being 7-0, but still, even if they won 1-0, it's 11-4. It's still real. To me, Colorado takes too many chances. They are elite. They have elite speed and skill, and they want to get into a track meet. The problem for them is the Jets know that, are cognizant of it, And if you look and break down the clips, John Goins did this on Daily Faceoff Live with us earlier this week, showing exactly why Winnipeg has been able to be successful against Colorado. They collapse and they fall back to support exactly the way Colorado plays. And I don't think even for a team that struggles to score a bit in Winnipeg, which is a real question mark, I'm just not an Alexander Georgiev believer. Sub 900 save percentage. And again, season series, not always everything. I just think this is a lopsided mismatch. And the team that wants to play run and gun, I think in this case, meets their match. So I'm going Jets in six.
Well, I hate agreeing with you, but I also have the Jets winning this series. You know, the season series definitely matters, especially the last game where there was a chance that they were battling for home ice and it wasn't even close. It was a 7-0 game. To me, the biggest mismatch is in goal. Connor Hellebuck is such an advantage for Winnipeg. But even when he doesn't play, like to me, when I look at the numbers of Hellebuck and then you look at the backup numbers of Lauren Brossoit Frank, and they're almost identical, that shows you that they've got a really consistent structure in front. Obviously, Hellebuck's elite, don't get me wrong. And Lauren Brossoit is a pretty solid backup. But the other factor in this series, I look at Winnipeg's 1 through 12 forwards. There's no doubt that Colorado has the best forward in the series, probably maybe the best two in MacKinnon and Rantanen, and probably the best two. But the depth, like Aya follows on your fourth line in Winnipeg right now. He's a really good player. Like they've got depth 1 through 12. Kyle Connor can score. Lowry. You look at the other advantage, Frank, here is Winnipeg's one of the few teams that can put a third line and be confident to play them half of their shifts, because no one ever goes every shift against the other team's top line. Most coaches don't like it because it disrupts too much of their bench. But they'll look and say, hey, if we have to go Scheifele's line sometimes, they'll go Lowry. But that frees up your top six then to go against the second and third lines in Colorado. And I think that's a pretty big mismatch.
There's a reason why I gave Lowry a Selke vote.
Yeah. And I look at Nichushkin and Lehkonen, those guys are going to have to somehow turn back the clock like it's 2022 playoffs, right? That's what they're going to need from them to have any chance. Casey Mittelstadt just isn't Nazem Kadri. He's not Gabriel Landeskog or, you know, what they had in 2022. And the other big factor for me is the overall size of Colorado's defense compared to the Jets forwards.
God, you love that.
But it's true, though.
I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying you bring it up every year.
Because it matters. Right. Like,
and you think because when they won in 2022, they had a couple bigger guys in
Josh Manson, Eric Johnson. Like, they were huge. Jack Johnson, like 230 pounds. He's a third pair defenseman, but you go
look at his numbers. Josh Manson's still there.
Yeah. Manson's still there. Jack Johnson, though. Eric Johnson's not there. And remember, Sammy Girard didn't play, right? He got injured in the playoffs. And so, you know, Bowen Byram, I look. And the other thing is, go look at Makar and Taves. Now, Taves has had a better year. Makar really hasn't had a great season, Frank. If you look overall, like, I know people were saying him for Quinn Hughes. I don't think he's even number two in the Norris race, to be honest. Right? Like, he, look at his numbers without MacKinnon on the ice. It's not great. And that to me is the big difference, because Colorado loves to play their five-man unit, Taves and Makar with the MacKinnon line. I get it. I totally understand it. But it's not like they're crushing teams to make up for it, so then the rest of their lineup has to handle it. I just think that Winnipeg's size and speed and depth of their forwards is going to wear down the Avs, and that's why they win in six.
So who are you voting?
Yeah, Jets in six.
Jets in six. Now, what is the path for Colorado to win? Because I think that's always...
Well, I think it's going to come down to their superstars are going to have to kind of go like nuclear, right? Like if you look at when Edmonton won a few years ago, Frank, their superstars went crazy, and that's what led them. I think so. Nathan MacKinnon's probably going to average close to 2 points a game. And then they've got a realistic chance to win, because he can win games by himself. We've seen it. He's that good. Can Cale Makar, somehow become the Cale Makar of a few years ago, right? And he's capable of it, but his season, and you talk to Avs fans, I think they would agree, he hasn't been at the level that he's capable of and shown the last few years. So Can he do it in the playoffs? He might. But that to me is the way they win. And then you talked about it earlier, Frank. Georgiev is going to have to surprise all of us, right? I think he would have to somehow be lights out for them to win.
And he can. I think he can. He has the capability. I really do. But I think it's a deadly combination of overworked and not playing well.
And their system, Frank. Like if you look up at the amount of, you know, like they give up a fair amount.
That's why I'm not worried for a Winnipeg team that doesn't score that well. And their power play has really struggled again.
Yeah.
That's the perfect team. You can defend, and especially if you can defend off the rush against Colorado, bad goaltender that you're going up against, and a team that gives up a lot. All you need to be is, not to say all you need to be opportunistic if you're Winnipeg, but I think there's going to be plenty of opportunity.
Yeah, you mentioned Colorado, and you know, they like to push the pace, as they should. They're a pretty fast team, but Winnipeg is a pretty controlled team. Now, it's funny how the Jets, 6 weeks ago, Frank, they were in a little bit of a tailspin, but they've really pulled out of it, and they found their game again like they had played, because they're one of the best teams. The Jets were first in the NHL in January, and I think it was even part of February. Then they hit the skids a little bit, but now they've come back. And, you know, and I'll be honest, like Winnipeg's one of those teams you kind of have a soft spot for. Like they've never had a lot of success, so you know, you kind of root for them. There's certain teams in certain leagues that just, I don't know if opposing fans really dislike them because they've never done anything that's really like, I'm sick of them winning, or I'm sick of this. Like, you know, the Jets are kind of that lovable team that you're like, well, okay, you know what? They're not my favorite team, but I kind of root for them. So that's always been my sense for the Jets.
Yeah, we don't root here.
Yeah. I cheer for good stories. But I look for Winnipeg and I'm kind of like, you know what? Their fans deserve a good playoff run outside of the one conference final run. They've never really had it.
You know what I root for?
Beer.
Yeah. The fastest game so I can have a cold beer.
Let's get to the Pacific. And just one final time, Frank, because you know, I love to talk about it. Imagine like Dallas and Vancouver. Like, look at the travel that Vancouver has to have.
You don't have to tell me. I'm going to Vancouver from round one. I'm going back and forth between Vancouver and Nashville. I am going to be living it. And I hate that I agree with you, but I've used this point and I've given you credit on all the radio hits that I do saying how dumb it is that there's a crossover when you have 4-4, because you end up with a situation exactly like this, where I'm going to be doing two flights to cross the country and spend 10 hours traveling back and forth between these two places.
Yeah, it's just
squeezing my fat ass into a tight seat for 10 hours.
And honestly, it's a very simple fix. And the team should be in favor of it. So come on, NHL. It's a very simple fix. Doesn't change anything about integrity of your game whatsoever. But Vancouver and Nashville, Frank, you know what? The Nashville Predators, man, they kind of got super hot here and almost got to 100 points in the season. The Vancouver Canucks have been pretty consistent, have basically led start to finish in the Pacific. Now, I know Vegas was there for a bit early on, but Vancouver has been pretty consistent overall. Who do you like in the series and why?
Going Canucks in five. And the reason for that is, outside of maybe Los Angeles, I don't know if Vancouver beats another team in any matchup that's in the playoffs. So this is the one I think that they're well positioned to do. I don't have their season series stats in front of me. Maybe you could tell me. I think they did pretty well against Nashville this year, but I think it's also been a while since they've played them. Is that right?
Yeah. They haven't played in a while, which is odd. And I guess it's not that odd. If you don't play that much, what are you going
to
do?
And Nashville, to be fair, was a different team to start the year. Definitely weren't as good. Here's why I like Vancouver. I think the structure that Rick Tocchet has put in place, if I can explain this and have it make sense to you, their lows are not as low as they previously were. Like, their bad games are not nearly as bad as they were. And so in an 82 game slog, when, you know, you can't possibly have it every night, they've really found a way. You said consistent. They've found a way to to find consistency in their game. And that's been important. They've got the talent. I think they need a lot more from Elias Pettersson. I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying that. I know that he, you know, statistically had a great season. But I think they need him to be a dominant force. 89 points in 82 games, 32 goals is fine. JT Miller is the engine and the heartbeat of that team up front. And Quinn Hughes had a magical season on the back end, almost flawless. I think there's a lot to like about Vancouver's game. I think they're going to be a tough out for whoever gets them in round two, but I think they make somewhat quick work of the Preds.
So what are you taking them in?
Five.
Ooh, all right.
I like it. You know what? I actually also have Vancouver, but I think it's going to be a long series. My question marks are, of course, Demko. Obviously, he was out for a while, and how's he going to be, like, timing-wise? Because when he's on, this could be a great goalie matchup between UC Saros and Demko, right? If both are on, I'm not sure there's a clear advantage one way or the other, but that's my question mark for Vancouver is Demko. And I think that's why, and Nashville, you know what, like Roman Josi, Quinn Hughes, arguably the two best defensemen in the NHL this year. They're going head to head. That should be exciting to watch. Vancouver doesn't have a ton of playoff experience, Frank, and I do think that matters. Nashville, not that they have a boatload, but they've got guys who have been there. You know, obviously there's some leftovers from when they went to the Stanley Cup final. So they've got a little bit more, obviously Roman Josi. I just think Vancouver's depth, I really like Vancouver's third line in this series, right? I think Dakota Joshua, I've really liked him emerge as a player. I think he's built for the postseason. I like
JT Miller. It's funny you said that because we had to go through today on dailyfaceoff.com and pick 16 sleeper players, guys that, you know, aren't big headline grabbing players that you think can be impact guys in a playoff series, one for each team. I did Nashville, Vancouver, and Edmonton. My guy in Vancouver was Dakota Joshua.
Yeah. No, honestly, he very quietly, he's had a really good year, man. Like,
he only played really 63 emerged. Games.
Yes. Big, tough, can score, can fight if you need to, can kill penalties. Like, I like him a lot. So, he reminds me of? He kind of reminds me a little bit of Lauer. He's young yet, but I think he's a guy that could emerge as a similar type of player than him. But I think Vancouver has overall more top-end depth. Obviously, Pettersson. You have JT Miller. Brock Besser's had a really good season. So I'm going to take the Canucks, but I think this is a seven gamer. There's got to be some series that goes seven. I'm taking the Canucks on home ice to win in game seven.
Dude, my body hurts to hear you say that.
Yeah, well, I know that sucks. And for those teams, and that'll be brutal for Vancouver if it does go seven, simply because of all that extra travel. Like it's
the only positive is that schedule wise, and I don't think they did this because of it, but I think it's more building availability. There are two extra travel days during the course of the series.
Yeah. And the Canucks were 3-0 against the Preds this year in the regular season. They only allowed two goals in each game, but they haven't played since December 19th. So completely different Nashville team. Yet. So I'm not even sure. Like, they beat them twice in October, Frank, when the Canucks were red hot and, you know, Nashville kind of got out of the gate slow. So their season series, I don't put much stock in just because they haven't played each other haven't played each other in 2024.
Everyone was waiting for a regression from the Canucks. And we never, you know, did they have some hiccups?
A little bit, but that's normal.
But totally normal. And I just think they've got some top end talent that could really make a difference. And I don't know who you're picking for our last series, but if we have Edmonton, Vancouver round two, first off, that would be amazing. Second, I think the Canucks would be a tough out for the Oilers, especially we talk season series a lot today, especially season series wise for Edmonton.
Well, let's get to it. The Oilers and the Kings, and we mentioned it. The Oilers were 81 seconds away from playing the Vegas Golden Knights. Until the Kings, Arvidsson scored to tie the game and get the Kings that point. And then, that put him into the third place spot in the Pacific. So for the third consecutive year, the Oilers and the Kings will go at it. And Frank, when I was watching that game last night, I don't know if you're watching or not, but my big concern for LA is their goaltending. And it kind of reared its head again in that game last night. They were dominating Chicago, and Chicago just kept scoring on very few shots. I look at Edmonton has clearly better top-end talent. There's no debate on that. They've figured out how to play the LA style. You got to play patient. You know, they have the 1-3-1. And then you have to transition very well to beat LA. And I think Edmonton's shown they know how to do that. They beat them in the playoffs. They beat them lately in the regular season. I think that it was 3-1 season series in favor of Edmonton. I honestly think this is a short series. I think Edmonton wins in five. I think we went 7-2 years ago, 6 last year. I think it's going to be 5 this season. Edmonton is a better team than they were last year and the year before. They're much deeper. And more importantly, I think they finally have figured out that they can consistently limit their goals against. That's always been their weakness, and I don't expect it. My one question in this series, Frank, is can the Oilers actually win game one? They lose game one all the time. Well, and so that to me is the key for them, is to show up on home ice and take advantage of home ice. They've been excellent on home ice under Chris Knobloch, and if that continues, it's a short series.
I would agree. If that continues, it's a short series, but guess what? They've yet to show that they've got that business-like maturity that I think they need. That part has not translated in the playoffs. There has been, go back to a couple years ago when they're learning how to win. They go to 7 games and they don't need to. They shouldn't have gone 7 games. Last year, same thing. Shoot yourself in the foot on home ice, lose another game in LA that you probably had no business losing, right? If I'm remembering the series correctly, they kind of run together. And you end up in a 6-game series that you didn't need to. I think the Oilers can send a message. Hey, we're learning from our mistakes, and make it a short series, because I don't think it needs to be a long one. But I tend to not believe it until I see it. So I'm going Oilers in 6. I still think they're going to have some of their same hiccups, and maybe this is a chance to do something different.
So then what do you think would be LA's path for victory?
Just absolutely stifle Edmonton with that 1-3-1. I know that they've shown they can beat it, but the Kings have some really, really talented defensive forwards. Yep. Philip Deneau and Anze Kopitar. Like, you're going up against some of the best of their generation. So that part is going to be big for LA. They're going to need to have timely goaltending, and they're going to need to get, could this be a coming out party for Quinton Byfield? You know, I don't think he's at the point yet where he can take over a series. I think he'll get there at some point, but maybe not yet, but let's see what he looks like. So, I don't see a path for them to win the series, but I do see a path for them to give Edmonton headaches. And that's really all we're talking about in terms of 5 or 6 games.
Yeah. Like, I think it would be a pretty, like, when I look at, like, obviously the Islanders and the Capitals would be the two biggest upsets, no question. But after that, Frank, in the other 6 series, like, what for you would be the biggest upset in those other 6 series for a team to win?
So the other,
like, Dallas, losing to Vegas, Edmonton losing to LA. I don't know if it's obviously Colorado wouldn't be. Nashville, Vancouver.
The biggest upset would be the Canes losing to the Islanders.
No, I said that outside of those two, right? Like, outside of the Rangers and the Canes, we know those are the two biggest upsets.
I would say the Preds beating the Canucks.
Okay.
Because you could make the argument that it's Vegas, but they won the cup last year. So how big of an upset is it really?
Yeah. But Dallas is good. Like, they're really good.
That's why I'm not picking it, but
yeah,
you said which one would be the biggest upset.
I know, but it's fair. Like my problem is, I don't know if I picked an upset. Like, I know I picked like Toronto but I don't think it's a huge upset. They're the number 3 team. And there's historically there's upsets, so I don't like my bracket already. Cause I really leaned, I almost had Nashville. I think there'll be an upset, but I'm like, no, I got to go with who I think's going to win, not playing the upset odds. So, you know, this might be one of those years. It's been a great regular season. It might be one where we don't have any major upsets in round 1. Like, if Toronto wins, I don't think it's a major upset. If Tampa wins, I don't view that as a major upset.
I agree.
Yes, it's a lower team, but that's not a major upset.
So what would be the answer to the question?
To me, I think the Kings and the Preds would be the two major upsets.
Yeah.
Followed closely by Vegas, because I really like Dallas. Like, I like Dallas a lot.
Man, you just never know. No. As good as I feel about what my bracket looks like, it's just this sport, unlike any other, has the ability to make you look so stupid.
So then
I go back to that way that I frame it, or not I frame it, the way that Tom Dundon framed it for me, the Hurricanes owner. Each round is a series of seven games of coin flips. Even when it's teams that are 23 points apart in the standings, you just never know.
Unless it's a 2022 Avalanche, then it's a waste of 8 days. Who do you have in the conference final in the West?
I have...
Well, Dallas, I know, because you picked
Dallas and Edmonton.
Yeah, me too. And then who do you have in the cup? You have the Canes and Dallas.
Yep.
Okay. I have the Canes. And I don't think I've ever picked Edmonton to make it to the Stanley Cup final. So I have Edmonton.
A rematch of 2006?
Woo. Yeah, I guess so. That's true. Yeah. Will a goalie get injured in game one? That's the question.
Where's Fernando Pisani when you need him?
Ooh. Yeah, well, that's the question we asked that. Like, is there going to be that one guy? Like, remember when Brian Bickle also went on a tear for the Blackhawks 1 year? Like, I love those stories, man. Like, I love those guys who, like, even Lehkonen for Colorado. And, like, Lehkonen was on fire for the Avs, right? He was huge. I go back to even Dupuis in 2009. He scored both goals in game seven for the Pens. Like, that was huge.
That was Max Detroit. Talbot.
I love it when those type of guys score.
That was Max Talbot scoring both goals.
Talbot. Yeah. Not too pretty.
But yeah, but there's a reason why someone every year still brings up John Drews.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, playoff.
Chris Kontos for a little of the older crowd would remember Chris Kontos. Remember him, Frankie?
I don't.
Oh, the LA Kings, man. He literally came out of nowhere for the LA Kings that year. It was stunning. Stunning. So, good. I don't know why. I'm always intrigued by those type of guys. Because not that you take for granted, like, the big guys are always going to score. I get it. But there's just something about the player who just gets super hot and scores some massive goals for his team. And I don't know, the fans seem to gravitate towards it a little bit more. It's awesome. I quite like it.
I can't wait. This, unsung heroes, unlikely heroes, chalk upsets. There's the Stanley Cup playoffs never disappoint. So I'm really looking forward to Saturday, and let's go. And by the way, people complaining about the schedule, like, can someone pick one, please? We have afternoon games and stagger them out, early evening games. And then someone complains about the time that they start. And then if you put them all at 7 o'clock, then someone complains, well, how dumb is this league? They can't stagger out the game time so you can watch everything. Like, honestly, just stop complaining. Decide one way or the other. You can't have it both ways. As my friend says, you can't suck and blow at the same time.
Yeah. I wouldn't. You know what? Hey, all I'll say this is, this is my annual, I feel for fans in the Central Time Zone. Nobody gets screwed out more than them. Every one of their games is starting on weekdays at like 8:52.
Brutal. You see the Stars? Their schedule is brutal for time starts.
Is it later than that?
I think so. No, yeah, it's 8. You're right. It's 8:52.
Yeah. Like,
every but then their own games in Vegas are 9:30, which is 9:52. So their team playing in the Pacific time zone.
Yes.
Again, because of your stupid crossover.
Yeah.
Imagine how different it would have been if they had played the Preds.
Well, exactly. Now it would only be an hour, but still better. Right? Way better.
I mean, the difference between an 8:30 start and a 9:52 start local time is humongous. Yeah. Especially like for anyone that needs to get up and go to work the next day.
Hey guys, here's your gift for winning the division, Dallas and Vancouver. You get way extra travel, two time zones in the first round, two time zones, massive more travel. And oh, by the way, Nashville and Dallas, your fan base gets to start the games way later. Enjoy. We love you. Come support us. Like,
please like our sport.
Yeah. Like, and it's such an easy fix. Like, would any Dallas fan be like, no, we should have Nashville instead because Vegas had one less point? No, no one's saying that. Sorry, Vancouver. Like, no one's saying that. They're going to be like, sure, we'll take Vegas. Nashville's like, Dallas, like, yeah, we'll take Nashville. Like, who cares? It's 1 point difference between those two teams. 1 point. So, anyhow. But I love the playoffs. I just don't like that format.
All right, enough griping. Let's end it on a solid note. Who's your cup pick? We didn't just say that. You got to determine who's winning. You have Oilers and Canes. I've got Canes and Stars.
Okay, who do you got? Well, you're picking Dallas. I think you picked them at the start of the year, did you not?
I have no reason to waver.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I'm going to pick Edmonton to beat the Canes.
Oh, the homer pick. I know it's you don't do it. You never do it, but you're doing it now.
Dude, I've been doing this job for 20 plus years. I've never picked the Oilers to make the cup. Obviously, I don't even think I picked them to win a round in 06. No, I think Edmonton's good, but so is Dallas. I really like the Canes.
Would it be an upset if the Canucks beat the Oilers in round two?
Well, slight, no,
but not
points wise, but I think it would be a slight upset. You even like you talk to people in Vancouver. I think a lot of people in Vancouver are like, hey, if the Canucks win around after that, it's just gravy train because no one at the start of the year thought Vancouver was good. Now, I picked the Canucks to make the playoffs. I thought the Canucks were a playoff team. I didn't think they'd win the division. I'll be very honest about that, but I thought they'd be a pretty good team. I didn't think they'd be this good and this consistent. And they check a lot of the boxes. You got an elite defenseman, you got elite goalie, you got some elite forwards, right? They've added some grit to their team. The only thing they lack right now is playoff experience. And that's been proven to be fairly important.
Agreed.
But could they beat Edmonton 100%? Like it wouldn't, yeah, like it'd be like if Toronto beats Boston, I don't think it's a big upset. If Vancouver beat Edmonton, I don't think it'd be a big upset at all. Mm-hmm. So, but you know what? Those two teams, Frank, haven't met in the postseason, like maybe 1986, maybe later. Like you'd like to see that. Like those two fan bases really don't like each other. So it'd be fun.
I'm all for it. Let's go.
Yeah. Much easier travel for you too, Frank, rather than Vancouver to Nashville.
Let's just see if I can survive round one and be upright. Let's start there. Well,
good luck. Good luck to all the teams. Enjoy the chaos. Begins, of course, tomorrow. And hey, we're thrilled to have Bet365 is the largest sports betting global platform. And you can open an account with Bet365 today. Use the promo code DAILY365 and you can bet on a massive range of markets in different sports. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. So get in now. Frankie, we will talk to you on Monday and we will have playoff hockey to discuss.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.